revenue-raising capacity, expenditure need, and the need-capacity gap. The need-capacity gap is the difference between expenditure need and revenue-raising capacity. A positive gap indicates that capacity falls short of need, that is, the municipality would need money from outside sources to be able to provide the average service quality at the average tax burden on its residents. A negative gap indicates that capacity exceeds need. A municipality could provide the average service quality at the average tax burden and still have money left over for service quality increases or tax cuts. Need capacity gaps for the 514 municipalities in Nebraska, for which we have complete data, are listed in Table 10AL. For convenience, the need capacity gap is standardized to equal zero in the average municipality. This step has no substantive impact on our conclusions. In effect, revenue-raising capacity is set so that, on average, it will generate the amount of money that municipalities require to be able to provide services of average quality. Revenue-raising capacity. Total revenue-raising capacity is the sum of capacity through the property tax, the sales tax, and other revenue sources. Although presented in index form in Table 10.3, the three components of total revenue-raising capacity are calculated in dollars per capita. As explained earlier, the general formula is as follows: capacity equals the standard tax burden multiplied by per capita income, and multiplied by 1 plus the export ratio. The average dollar amount of capacity per capita is very similar for these three components: $104 for capacity through the property tax, $114 for capacity through the sales tax, and $113 for capacity through other sources. Total revenue-raising capacity is summarized in the first panel of Table 10.6. Total capacity is $313 per capita in the average municipality, but varies widely from one municipality to the next. The standard deviation of capacity is $61, which implies that most cities have capacity between $244 and $382. However, a few cities are far outside this range. The minimum capacity is $163, and the maximum is $546. Table 10.6 also reveals large differences in capacity between large and small municipalities. The average capacity of large cities is $442, and all large cities have above average capacity. Among the smallest class of municipalities, the average capacity is $299, and the range in capacity is from $178 to $498. These results reflect that facts that larger cities tend to have 1. More commercial and industrial property, the property taxes on which can be exported to some degree, 2. More taxable sales to non-residents, and 3. Higher incomes per capita. Nevertheless, a few village and small cities have high revenue-raising capacity largely because of high per capita income. Expenditure need. Expenditure need is the amount a city would have to spend to provide average quality services given its public service costs. Expenditure need for a particular type of service, such as streets, equals the product of service responsibilities for streets and the cost index for streets. Overall service responsibility is the sum of expenditure needs for all types of services: streets, police, fire, and miscellaneous. Expenditure need is summarized in the second panel of Table 10.6. The average value is $313 per capita, that is, the average municipality would have to spend $313 per capita to provide public services of average quality. The standard deviation of expenditure need is $100, so most cities fall between 313 minus 100 equals $213 and 313 plus 10 equals $413. The full range is from $169 to $1,125. This variation in expenditure need is considerably larger than the variation in revenue-raising capacity. Municipalities in Nebraska differ more in their service responsibilities and public service costs than in their incomes and abilities to export taxes. expenditure need is not as closely tied to population as is capacity, because large cities have relatively low expenditure need for streets combined with relatively high expenditure need for police, fire, and miscellaneous services. The average expenditure need for cities over 10,000 is $344, whereas the average for the middle group of municipalities is $285, and the average for the smallest municipalities is $319. However, the standard deviation and range are much greater for the smallest municipalities, largely because of the huge variation in their street responsibilities. Among the large cities, the range in expenditure need is only from $251 to $379, whereas among the smallest municipalities the range is $170 to $1,125. The need capacity gap. The need capacity gap is the difference between expenditure need and revenue raising capacity, standardized to be zero in the average municipality. The standard deviation of this gap is $123. Thus, most municipalities have gaps between negative $123 and plus $123 per capita. The municipality in the worst condition, Nora, has a gap of $836, and the municipality in the best condition, Sprague, has a gap of negative $248. The $836 figure is somewhat misleading. Nora has a gap of $836 because it has relatively many miles of roads for its 24 people, but the second worst municipality, Deakins, has a gap of only $543 and only 13 villages, all but one of which have populations below 100 people, have need capacity gaps above $300 per capita. Excluding these 12 tiny villages, the least healthy municipality would have to receive about $290 per capita from outside sources to be able to provide the same service quality, at same tax burden, as the average municipality. In contrast, the healthiest municipality could provide services of average quality and still have $248 per capita left over for service quality improvements or tax cuts. The municipalities with the best fiscal condition vary widely in their characteristics. The top-ranked city is Sprague, which is located outside Lincoln, with a 1984 population of 169, and a 1983 per capita income of $13,933, the highest in the state. Three other municipalities in the top 10, Papillion, Sydney, and North Platte, had populations between 5,000 and 25,000 in 1984. The remaining municipalities in the top 10, Big Springs, Bassett, Melbeta, Syracuse, Waverly, and Bennington, had 1984 populations under 1,000, but relatively high per capita incomes and relatively few miles of roads per capita. As noted, the 12 municipalities with the poorest fiscal condition all are very small villages with extensive street responsibilities. In fact, almost all of the municipalities in the bottom half of the fiscal condition distribution have populations below 1,000. The least healthy municipality with a population above 1,000, Harvard, has a need capacity gap of $126 and ranks 449th, or 65th, from the bottom. The least healthy municipality with a population above 2,500, Superior, has a gap of $9, which is close to the average, and the least healthy municipality with a population above 5,000, La Vista, has a gap of negative $13 and ranks 278th. Table 10-6 also reveals that, on average, large cities are in much better fiscal condition than are small municipalities. The average need capacity gap for cities with populations above 10,000 is negative $98 per capita, and none of these large cities has below average fiscal condition. The smallest municipalities have an average gap of plus $20 per capita, but their fiscal condition varies widely. As noted earlier, some of the healthiest, as well as some of the least healthy, municipalities are in the smallest population class. Although not among the healthiest 10 municipalities, cities with populations above 30,000 all have relatively good fiscal condition. Omaha ranks 12th with a gap of negative $190 per capita. Lincoln ranks 64th with a gap of negative $194. Grand Island ranks 81st with a gap of negative $106. And Bellevue ranks 123rd with a gap of negative $82. In comparing the 14 cities with 1984 populations above 10,000 with each other, we find that Omaha is in the best fiscal condition, whereas La Vista and Scotts Bluff are the worst position, with gaps of negative $13 and negative $19, respectively. The others, Lincoln, Grand Island, Bellevue, Fremont, Kearney, North Platte, Hastings, Norfolk, Columbus, Beatrice, and Alliance, all have gaps between negative $53 and negative $197. The average gap for these cities is negative $98. Although these cities are all in much better fiscal condition than many of the tiny municipalities in the state, this range in fiscal condition is large. Omaha could provide service quality equal to the average in this group of cities at the average tax burden and still have 190 minus 98 equals $92 left over for service increases or tax cuts. La Vista could not provide this average service quality at this average tax burden without receiving 146 minus 71 equals $85 per capita from outside sources. The strong association between fiscal condition and population is illustrated in Figure 10.1, which plots population against the need capacity gap for all municipalities in Nebraska. Larger municipalities clearly tend to have better fiscal health than smaller municipalities. The average relationship between population and fiscal condition is highlighted by the line in this figure. This figure also illustrates, however, that not all municipalities of a given size have the same need capacity gap. Figure 10.2 illustrates that there also exists a strong association between income and fiscal condition. Municipalities with higher incomes tend to have smaller need capacity gaps both because they have higher revenue-raising capacity and because they have lower public service costs. As in Figure 10.1, the line highlights the average relationship between income and fiscal condition, and the plotted points reveal that not all cities with a given income have exactly the same fiscal condition. The fiscal condition of Omaha versus other central cities in the United States. So far, our calculations reveal the fiscal condition of each city in Nebraska relative to the statewide average. A recent study of U.S. central cities by Ladd and Yinger provides some insight into a different question: how does the fiscal condition of Omaha compare to the fiscal condition of other major central cities? In comparing cities in different states, one must pay careful attention to differences in fiscal institutions. Some cities have far more service responsibilities, or receive access to more broad-based taxes, or must share taxable resources with more overlying governments than other cities. These fiscal institutions are determined by the state and can have as much impact on a city's fiscal health as intergovernmental grants. For example, Omaha is allowed to levy a 1.5% general sales tax, which boosts its ability to export taxes to non-residents, but unlike several other central cities, it cannot levy a tax on commuter earnings, which would boost its ability to export even more. Thus, Ladd and Yinger carry out their analysis in two steps. First, they determine the fiscal health each city would have if it had a standard set of fiscal institutions. This standardized fiscal health measure reflects social and economic characteristics that influence public service costs and revenue-raising capacity, but it does not reflect differences across cities and fiscal institutions. Second, they determine each city's actual fiscal health given its fiscal institutions and the intergovernmental aid it receives from its state. The difference between actual and standardized fiscal health is a measure of the assistance the city receives from its state, both through fiscal institutions and through grants. Compared to 69 other major central cities, Omaha's standardized fiscal health was about average in 1972. Between 1972 and 1982, standardized fiscal health deteriorated both in Omaha and in the average central city, but the decline in Omaha was only about half as large as the average decline. In other words, Omaha's standardized fiscal health was somewhat higher than average in 1982. In contrast, Omaha's actual fiscal health was considerably above average in 1972 and considerably below average in 1982. This turnaround had two causes. First, and most important, state intergovernmental grants to Omaha, already below average in 1972, declined still further relative to the grants received by other central cities. Second, Omaha's fiscal institutions proved to be less favorable relative to other cities in 1982 than in 1972. In fact, only 5 of 29 states in the Ladinger study were less generous to their central city or cities in 1980 than Nebraska was to Omaha. Based on economic and social factors alone, Omaha's 1982 fiscal condition was better than the fiscal condition of the average major central city. However, Omaha received considerably less assistance in 1982 from the Nebraska state government through both fiscal institutions and grants than the average central city received from its state, and this relatively low assistance pushed its actual fiscal condition below average. These results help to place the earlier results in this paper into perspective. Omaha is in much better fiscal condition than most of the villages and small cities in Nebraska, but largely because of the relatively low level of state grants in Nebraska, it is in worse fiscal condition than the average central city in the country. Conclusions. Three key results emerge from this analysis. First, the largest cities in Nebraska are in much better fiscal condition, on average, than our villages and small cities. The principal reason for the relatively good fiscal condition of large cities is that they tend to have relatively high per capita incomes and relatively high abilities to export their tax burdens to non-residents, both through the property tax and the sales tax. The fiscal advantages of large cities in terms of revenue-raising capacity are offset to some degree by their relatively public service costs for street maintenance, police protection, and fire protection, but are reinforced to some degree by their relatively low responsibility for street maintenance. The combined impact of high costs and low street responsibilities is to give large cities somewhat larger expenditure needs than small municipalities. The fiscal disadvantages of large cities on the need side, however, are not sufficient to offset their fiscal advantages on the capacity side. As a result, all cities with more than 10,000 people have above average fiscal condition, and Omaha ranked 12th, Lincoln ranked 64th, and Grand Island ranked 81st, are in the top 20% of municipalities. Second, villages and small cities vary enormously in their fiscal condition. Villages with relatively high per capita incomes and low responsibility for streets are in relatively good fiscal condition, whereas villages with low per capita incomes and high street responsibilities are in relatively poor fiscal condition. The differences in incomes and street responsibilities across small municipalities are so large that some of these places are among the healthiest municipalities in the state, whereas others are clustered at the bottom of the fiscal condition list. Third, Omaha's economic and social circumstances alone give it somewhat better fiscal health than the average major central city in the United States, but Omaha's relatively low state assistance, compared to other cities, implies that its overall fiscal health is considerably below average. These results indicate that the largest cities in Nebraska are not in good fiscal condition relative to comparable cities in other states. They are only in good fiscal condition relative to the average small municipality in Nebraska. In fact, the largest cities in Nebraska appear to be in fairly poor fiscal condition relative to comparable cities nationwide. The determinants of municipal spending. Our measure of municipal fiscal condition is designed to be unaffected by that municipality's actual decisions about spending and taxation. Nevertheless, state policymakers may want to be able to answer several questions about this actual fiscal behavior. Do municipalities with higher per capita income or larger tax bases spend more than other municipalities? To what extent do municipalities with harsher environments spend more on public services? What is the impact of state and federal grants on municipal spending? The section addresses these and other questions about the behavior of municipalities in Nebraska. The statistical support for our conclusions is presented in the appendix. We divide municipal spending into four types: street, police, fire, and miscellaneous. In municipalities without separate police and fire accounts, we combine police and fire into safety spending. For all four types of spending, our analysis follows a large literature by assuming that spending is influenced by voters' demands for public services, which, like private demands for goods and services, increases with voters' income and decreases with the price of those services. In the case of public services, the price is the amount a voter must pay in taxes for another unit of services. This so-called tax price is approximately equal to the residential share of the property tax base. The higher the residential share, the more of the burden for any tax increase falls directly on voters. We find that resident income has a positive and statistically significant impact on most types of services. As noted earlier, standard deviation is a measure of the typical variation in a variable across municipalities. A municipality with a per capita income one standard deviation above the average spends about 33% more on fire, or about 17% more on safety, and about 4% more on miscellaneous services than a municipality with average income. Income does not appear to influence municipal spending on streets or police, however. A municipality's tax price has the expected impact on spending for streets, fire, or safety, and miscellaneous services. The higher is the tax price, the lower is municipal spending. But we find no link between tax price and spending for police services. A variety of institutional and preference factors also influence municipal spending. The most important factors are discussed here. The complete list of these factors is in the appendix. As noted earlier, the types of streets in a municipality influence its street maintenance spending. We find that unsurfaced streets are the most expensive to maintain, whereas gravel streets are the least expensive. Municipalities with city managers tend to spend more per capita than other municipalities on streets and on police or safety, whereas villages spend less per capita on police or safety than do cities. Not surprisingly, spending for miscellaneous services, including sewer and sanitation services, increase with the sewerage and sanitation charges a municipality collects. However, municipalities with some spending on sewer spend $22 more per capita, on average, than other municipalities, even after controlling for sewerage charges. Similarly, municipalities with hospitals spend $14 more per capita, on average, than other municipalities, after controlling for hospital charges and other factors. Municipalities with harsher environments have higher public service costs and therefore must spend more to obtain the same service quality. Thus, the impact of environmental factors on public service costs can be estimated by determining the impact of these variables on spending. Controlling for other determinants of service quality, such as income and tax price. As explained earlier, we find that a variety of environmental factors influence municipal spending in Nebraska. A high poverty, for example, boosts spending on police and fire services. State aid, as defined by the U.S. Census, has strong positive impact on street spending. But we find no impact of state aid on spending for any other municipal public services. As currently designed, state aid in Nebraska does encourage municipalities to better maintain their streets, but it does not encourage municipalities to improve the quality of their other public services. We examine state aid more fully in the following section. Federal categorical aid also has a strong positive impact on street spending, as well as a positive impact on spending for fire protection and miscellaneous services. Federal general revenue sharing appears to encourage municipalities to spend more on miscellaneous services and to encourage municipalities without separate police and FDRE accounts to spend more on safety services. the federal government rescinded its general revenue sharing program in 1986. Our results suggest that municipalities in Nebraska may cut back their miscellaneous and safety services in response to this change in federal policy. Policy options for the state current state aid programs. At present, the only general-purpose state aid program for municipalities is the aid given through the Governmental Subdivision Fund. In fiscal year 1986, $16.2 million was distributed to municipalities through this fund. The formula by which this aid is distributed is very simple. All municipalities receive the same amount per capita. Thus, this aid program does not attempt to direct state assistance to the municipalities that need help the most. In other words, this program does not give any more aid per capita to municipalities in poor fiscal condition than to municipalities in good fiscal condition. The state of Nebraska has implemented several other programs that provide assistance to municipalities. 2 cents of the state motor fuel tax goes into the city-county road fund, and half of the money in this fund goes to municipalities. Municipality's share of this fund is distributed on the basis of municipal population, lane miles, motor vehicle registrations, and various other factors. Municipalities also receive a share of the State Highway Trust Fund, 10.5 cents of the motor fuel tax goes into this fund, and municipalities receive 23.33% of this amount. In fiscal year 1986, municipalities received approximately $28 million from these two road funds. Half of the state insurance premium tax also goes to local governments, and 30% of the local government share goes to municipalities. In fiscal year 1986, municipalities received approximately $4 million through the source. These programs operate like state aid programs, and indeed they, along with aid through the Governmental Subdivision Fund, are all treated as state aid in the U.S. Census accounting system. Thus, we can ask whether total state aid through all these programs is directed toward the municipalities that need help the most. We find that municipalities in poorer fiscal condition receive slightly more overall state aid. To be specific, we find that if City A's need capacity gap is $1 higher than City B's, then City A can expect to receive about 8 cents more in state aid than City B. In other words, current state aid programs offset about 8% of the disparities in fiscal condition across municipalities. Remember that street responsibilities play a key role in municipal fiscal condition. This equalizing role of current state aid reflects the fact that highway trust fund revenues are directed to some degree towards municipalities with extensive street responsibilities. Equalizing grants. Many states have implemented grant programs designed to assist cities that are, through no fault of their own, in poor fiscal condition. Nobody wants to reward jurisdictions that are in fiscal trouble because of mismanagement or corruption or excess service provision, but many public officials believe that the state government should help cities that are in fiscal trouble because of economic and social circumstances that are outside their control. The objective of this type of program is to ensure that all citizens have access to an adequate level of public services, even if they live in a city with low revenue-raising capacity or high expenditure need. In this section, we describe a type of grant program for Nebraska that is explicitly designed to assist municipalities that are in relatively poor fiscal condition because of factors outside their control. To put it another way, this grant program is designed to help offset fiscal disparities across municipalities. Although we believe that offsetting fiscal disparities across municipalities is a legitimate and even compelling objective for a state government, any decision about the extent to which fiscal disparities are offset in Nebraska must be made by Nebraska state officials. Our approach is to provide a general grant formula for offsetting fiscal disparities across municipalities, and to show how state officials can increase or decrease the generosity of the program. As shown earlier, state assistance to municipalities through the highway trust funds is directed towards municipalities in poor fiscal condition, but only to a small degree. The general formula described below allows the state to increase the extent to which its aid is directed toward the municipalities that need it the most. a grant program to offset fiscal disparities across municipalities requires two decisions from state officials. First, they must decide on the budget for the program. Second, they must decide whether the program will be directed toward all municipalities or will be limited to those municipalities in the poorest fiscal condition. These two decisions determine the percentage of existing fiscal disparities that can be offset by state aid. State officials can increase the percentage of existing disparities that the program can offset either by raising the program's budget or by restricting the number of municipalities that receive aid. The importance of these two decisions is demonstrated in Table 10-7. Based on the 1984 populations and fiscal year 1986 need capacity gaps of Nebraska's municipalities, we calculate the percentage of existing disparities that can be offset, called the offset percentage, for various state budget levels and various sets of municipalities. The first column of entries in the table lists the offset percentage for various state budgets when the aid program applies to all municipalities in the state. For every $1 million it spends, Nebraska can offset 0.6% of existing fiscal disparities across all its municipalities. With a fiscal year 1986 budget for the governmental subdivision fund, $16.2 million, the state could offset about 10% of the fiscal disparities across all municipalities. As noted earlier, the implicit offset percentage in all current state aid programs put together, including the highway trust funds, is only about 8%. State officials can improve the cost-effectiveness of an equalizing grant program by restricting the grants to the municipalities that need help the most. A program that gives grants to all municipalities must devote a large share of its budget to small per capita grants to large cities, which tend to be in relatively good fiscal condition. Thus, a large share of the budget is devoted to cities that do not need much assistance, and little is left over to help municipalities in very poor fiscal condition. To focus the aid on the neediest municipalities, the state can decide to give grants only to municipalities with a need capacity gap above a selected cutoff point. Three such cutoff points are illustrated in Table 10-7. Column 2, for example, describes a grant program with a cutoff point of negative $50 per capita, and Column 3 describes a grant program with a cutoff point of $0 per capita. Thus, Column 3 describes a program that gives grants to all municipalities with above average need capacity gaps, that is, with gaps above zero. For every $1 million of budget, this program can offset 23% of the existing fiscal disadvantages of these municipalities, and a $5 million budget for this program could entirely eliminate these disadvantages. Table 10-7 reveals that Nebraska can provide extensive assistance to its neediest municipalities at very little cost to the state. With a state aid budget of only $1 million, the state could offset 9% of the fiscal disadvantages faced by municipalities with need capacity gaps above negative $50 per capita, and 57% of the fiscal disadvantages faced by municipalities with gaps above plus $50. And with a budget of only $5 million, the state could eliminate almost half of the fiscal disadvantages of municipalities with need capacity gaps above negative $50 and all of the fiscal advantages faced by municipalities with below average fiscal condition. These dramatic results reflect the fact that most of the municipalities in poor fiscal condition in Nebraska are very small, so it does not take a very large state budget to compensate these cities for their unfavorable economic and social circumstances. Figure 10-3 makes these points in another way. The four lines in this figure correspond to the four $1 million aid programs in the first row of Table 10-7. The cutoff point for receiving aid is the point at which the line hits the horizontal axis. No city with a need capacity gap to the left of this point receives any aid. As this cutoff point moves to the right, the offset percentage, which is represented by the steepness of the line, increases. It follows that the municipalities in the poorest fiscal condition receive much more aid per capita for the program in column 4 of table 10-7, which has a cutoff point as a gap of $50 per capita, than for the program in column 1, which gives aid to all municipalities. Offsetting fiscal disparities is not, of course, the only possible objective of a state aid program. For example, state revenue sources tend to be fairer, less distortionary, and cheaper to administer than local revenue sources, so a state may want to shift reliance away from local taxes, like the property tax, onto state taxes, like the income and sales taxes, and then share the proceeds with its local governments. Indeed, this type of revenue shifting is an important justification for the current distribution of highway trust fund revenues to municipalities, and for the current program of aid through the governmental subdivision fund. Thus, state officials may want to combine an equalizing grant program, such as the programs in Table 10-7, with another grant program, such a flat grant per capita, to all municipalities, the formula currently employed for the governmental subdivision fund. Because, through no fault of their own, some Nebraska municipalities are in much poorer fiscal condition than others, we recommend that the state implement a new state aid program that is explicitly designed to offset fiscal disparities across municipalities. Moreover, we recommend that to some degree this program be limited to municipalities with the poorest fiscal condition so that it can provide assistance to the municipalities that need it the most at a reasonable cost to the state. To be able to implement this recommendation, the state must be able to estimate and update each municipality's need capacity gap. A method for doing so is presented in the appendix. Given the relatively low level of state aid in Nebraska compared to other states, we also recommend that the state retain its existing state aid programs, both through the governmental subdivision fund and the highway trust funds.